Hi, folks. Bob Main with another episode of the Handgun World Show. And the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for listening. This is episode number 48 of the Handgun World Show. And if you're relatively new to listening to my show, you will find out this is a practical, common sense firearms podcast. I'm not real technical because I'm not ex-law enforcement or ex-military. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm just a private citizen that carries a gun and believes in my Second Amendment rights. And so that's what I stick to. In this episode, episode 48 to be exact, I am going to do something a little bit different that I have not ever done in this show before. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and warn you up front. I am driving. If you hear a little bit of background noise, it's because I'm cashing in on some windshield time to bring you this episode of the Handgun World Show. Actually, what I've never done is I've never done a humorous gun podcast. I've never added any satire and humor into this show. You know, we tend to take this so seriously sometimes. We take this carrying a gun stuff and shooting and learning how to be a serious gun carrier and everything. We take it so seriously, and it is a serious subject, don't get me wrong. This is something that we do have to be very, very safe with, firearms, obviously. But I want to take a little bit of a different approach and kind of get you just thinking about some funny stuff and kind of get you thinking about some of the silly things that our government does and that our society does. And I know I have international listeners that listen to the Handgun World Show. You know, I have folks who listen to this podcast that live in countries where you can't even carry and sometimes can't even own a firearm. To those of you who listen internationally, thank you very much. It's very flattering to know that. So a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be U.S.-based, but I bet you're going to find some similarities between what I talk about and what goes on in your country if you're an international listener. So let me dive right into it. I do have some announcements, but I'll save that for a couple of minutes from now. But the title of this podcast is, Wouldn't It Be Nice If We Treated Guns Like We Treat Cars? There was a good article written by a guy named Ron Miller that I'm going to base this off of, and I'll put a link to his article in the posting of this show. So some of this he wrote, most of it he wrote, some of it I changed up, paraphrased. I'm going to put some of my own style to this. But what if we treated guns like we treated cars? Wouldn't that be nice? You know what would happen if we did that? You could get a simple license from the state for a small fee and only have to take a test that any idiot could pass in order to carry a gun, right? You'd only have to renew it about every 10 years or so, and maybe retake the test only if you have to move out of state. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, you could kill and injure people with your gun while shooting drunk and still have your lawyer get your gun back, because after all, you need it for work. And do you realize we would have half of our taxes dedicated to improving shooting ranges around the country? The public would also agree that the gun ranges are just simply not good enough to suit them. I mean, after all, with all the gun owners from California moving into their state, the range capacity and the range conditions will just never catch up. And the news will be showing long lines of people at the shooting range. And the public will demand a change. And if we treated guns like we treat cars, you could carry in any state at any time, because carry and possession of your gun is honored nationwide, and it's considered a basic American civil right. And isn't that funny? I mean, this is an attempt at humor and satire. But, you know, folks, driving's not a right. Driving's a privilege. But yet you can drive anywhere you want with one license. You can drive anywhere in all 50 states with one license. Can you do that with a gun? And you know what? Owning and carrying a gun, that is an individual right. But anyway, this is not a serious show, so I'm going to get back to satire and trying to be a little bit funny here. Okay? So if we treated guns like we treat cars, you'd see commercials on TV pushing the newest and latest guns that you could lease for just $25 a month with no money down. You could start financing a fancier gun than you could actually afford by taking out a 5-year, no interest, no money down loan, and a guaranteed trade-in value of your old gun with approved credit, of course. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, you'd have a gun safe built into every house. In the good neighborhoods, you'd see at least 3 gun safes in every house. And, of course, in the more inexpensive neighborhoods and mobile homes, you'd see a gun rack by the door. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, you'd have gun storage lockers at the shopping mall, where you could store your shotgun while shopping. I mean, after all, I mean, you know, the convenience of the shopper is the most important thing, right? You realize if we treated guns like we treated cars, you could buy ammunition at 7-Eleven? And if you found a full-service station, it means that they would reload your magazine for you. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, and if the price of ammunition rose 20%, well, by golly, that would be a tragedy. The federal government would release the majority of their ammo reserves in order to bring the price back down to what consumers could really afford. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, we'd teach gunsmithing at vocational schools. And every 16-year-old kid would be looking forward to the day when he or she could take the family revolver to school. The rich kids would get a high-capacity semi-auto pistol on their 16th birthday, and they would endanger everyone when they start to use it in public. And high schools would have large gun lockers to store the students' guns while they attended class. If we treated guns like we treated cars, schools would have shooter education classes, just like driver education classes, and they would make sure that every kid passed the tests. And they'd also show all these gory, bloody films of gunshot wounds and shooting while drunk. If we treated guns like we treated automobiles, old people that could hardly see would still be permitted to shoot in public. I mean, after all, disarming them would damage their self-esteem, and that wouldn't be fair. And occasionally, some old geezer would fire a shot into a schoolyard because he mistook the trigger for a safety. And, of course, Congress would refrain from criticizing that old man's behavior because of the AARP's influence. And if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, Congress would be debating alternative weapon systems for people who can't afford their own guns. They would also be subsidizing weapons for people who couldn't afford their own, and they might even establish a cash for clunkers gun trade-in program for the financially challenged. You realize if we treated guns like we treat automobiles, that Congress would be willing to bail out Smith & Wesson, Colt, Kimber, and Springfield Armory if they got into financial trouble. I mean, after all, they would need to ensure the survival of these American companies, the survival of the industry, and they'd have to protect these American gun makers from the unfair competition from foreign makers like Glock, CZ, Walther, and Sig Sauer. And if we treated guns like automobiles, we the people, except for Ralph Nader, would dismiss 40,000 deaths and 500,000 injuries every year, and we would call it the price of freedom. You realize if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, that we would have an organization called Mothers Against Drunk Shooters, instead of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and they would conduct a campaign of public education trying to force the government to stop irresponsible drinking and shooting. And if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, you could rent a gun at any airport if you're over 25 years old and have a credit card. You'd also see environmentalist wackos advocating bow and arrow because they think that gun smoke damages the environment. And Al Gore would write a book about the damaging effects of gun smoke, and he'd also have to claim that he was a hand loader before his sister died from secondhand gun smoke. If we treated guns like we treated cars, you'd have an outcry from the media and the Congress over the ever-increasing dependence on cheap, imported foreign ammunition. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, Ted Kennedy would have shot Mary Jo Kopechne instead. You know, if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, you'd have businesses like Jiffy Gun Lube. But you'd always have to worry that they might not have gotten the magazine fully seated or the recoil spring installed properly. But you'd have huge eyesores where piles of guns are left to rust out in the open, and we'd call them gun junkyards. But they would be a pretty good source to pick up cheap magazine springs. And if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, you'd have TV news crews going undercover with hidden cameras to smoke out the unscrupulous gunsmiths and gun dealers. Oh, wait a minute. I think we already have that, don't we? Do you realize this? If we treated guns like we treated cars, the Japanese would be trying and succeeding at taking over our gun market by producing ammo-efficient, reliable, high-quality guns. The Koreans would be trying to sneak in at the low end of the gun market, and the Germans would be selling premium guns based on their better workmanship, longer life, and the prestigious brand name. The Italians would paint their guns flaming red, and they would have a reputation for being finicky. And the State Department would be applying pressure to get Japan to allow more U.S. guns into their country. And if we treated guns like we treated automobiles, you would have an entire section of every Sunday newspaper devoted to ads for new and used guns. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, you'd have a pair of fun-loving gunsmiths on public radio doing a show on gun problems. And you know what their names would be? Tap and Rack. If we treated guns like we treated automobiles, shooting competition would be shown on TV every Saturday. And the Daytona 500 would be a round count instead of miles. There'd be speed contests, endurance contests, reloading competition, and off-range marksmanship events, excuse me. And high schools would paint a Glock in the color of their opponent and hold a pep rally and charge you 25 cents to swing a sledgehammer at that gun. You realize if we treated guns like cars, that people would have flashbacks to the ammo shortage from the 70s, and Congress would enact a law setting maximum cycle rates for autos and semi-automatics in order to conserve ammo. If we treated guns like we treated automobiles after the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were over, Congress would have to enact a law setting a national gun cycle rate to a level that all semi-automatics could be comfortable with. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, letters to editors would be written complaining that too many soccer moms are carrying 50 caliber machine guns around town, wasting ammo and getting in everybody's way. If we treated guns like we treated automobiles, Al Gore would claim he invented the 50 caliber cartridge, but he was sorry. And gun makers would have to produce electric guns and hybrid guns in order to conserve ammo. If we treated guns like we treated automobiles, shortly after that, people would complain that the electric guns were too quiet and people were accidentally stepping in front of these guns on the street because they couldn't hear the bullets coming. And President Obama would demand that electric gun manufacturers put a cowbell on each one to prevent these senseless accidents. And if we treated guns like we treated cars, the National Rifle Association would be selling travel insurance for your guns, because the rest of society will have seen to it that there would be no chance that firearms would ever get banned. And so, with that said, with all those said, I figured you might enjoy just a tad bit of humor, maybe a couple of chuckles, a little bit of satire. Thank you to Ron Miller for writing that article. And there was more to it than that, but I picked out the stuff that I thought was appropriate. And like I said, I changed it up a little bit. I'll put a link to the article that he wrote. But that concludes the first segment of this show. I want to get serious now. But before I get serious, I want to cover a couple of announcements. Okay? The announcements are this. The website, the main website where you can find this show, handgunworld.com. I'm going to be updating the news page. Check my news page on there. I like to post pertinent gun information on handgunworld.com. If you are an iTunes user and you found this show on iTunes, do me a favor. Excuse me? Give me a rating. Go to iTunes and write a review on the show, good or bad or indifferent. I don't care. This helps me improve the show. Feel free to use the comment section on the blog also to comment about shows. Some of you have been putting some good counter arguments about the things that I say, and that's okay. You know, folks, I don't have the answers to everything. I'm flattered that there's so many listeners to the show, and I try to keep this practical, as you've heard me talk about. And I like to talk about real experiences, and it seems to be resonating with people, and that's a good thing. But every once in a while, I get something wrong. I'll go ahead and I'll admit that right up front. Okay, so if I did get something wrong on a show or something like that, and you feel the need to set me straight, by all means, please do that. I like constructive criticism. I take it very well, and I use it to improve the show. And finally, as I wrap up the announcements, don't forget about the YouTube channel for the Handgun World Show. Go to YouTube and search Handgun World Show. Or just go to YouTube.com/user/HandgunWorldShow. I will be putting a couple new videos up there probably next week. Okay, that's it. I like to keep the announcements short and sweet. I don't like to commercialize this show. I do want to say that if you feel like this show has helped you with your firearms decisions in any way, and you think it's of a little bit of value to you, if you don't mind, support the show financially with a small donation. I'd be grateful, but it's not necessary. I just like the fact that you listen to the show, so keep on listening, and that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, on a serious note, let's talk about gun-related deaths in the United States. And of course, again, for you international listeners, I didn't have the time to go ahead and look up some international statistics for you, but listen to what's going on here in the United States. You know, a lot of people complain about gun-related deaths. Oh my God, there's so many people dying from guns, and we got to ban these nasty things because, you know, after all, if we banned guns, there would be fewer people dying from gunshots, right? Let me share some things with you about that. Statistics and causes of gun deaths. One of the real definitive sources for United States injuries and death statistics is the Centers for Disease Control. And I got this off of their website. And the CDC website provides a lot of good stats on deaths by injury. Not only gun deaths, but also just deaths by injury. But a couple of statistics I want to share with you on gun deaths. By the way, to get the number of gun deaths for a year, the CDC typically uses the FBI crime statistics to publish how many gun deaths. And I want to share some interesting info with you about child gun deaths, because I just got done doing a podcast on child safety and concealed carry around children and how to keep your guns safe from children and things like that. The CDC child gun figures. Let me share a few of these with you. The difference is that in basically how they define a child, first of all. Let me cover that. The CDC counts a child as under 18. The gun control lobby, they like to distort the facts and the figures. Okay, they count kids that are 18, 19, and 20. As children, which I thought was interesting. They're doing that just to try to skew the numbers, I'm sure. I think one of the reasons why they do that is counting the 18, 19, and 20-year-olds as kids, it doubles the number of the so-called child gun deaths that the gun control lobby likes to talk about. And more children gun deaths means more support for gun control. Think about that. Okay, some stats for you. In 1999, there were about 1,700 gun deaths. And the best I was able to look up are figures from about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, in 99. 1,700 gun deaths. Now, maybe the numbers are a little bit different now, in 2010. But think about these statistics that I'm about to share with you, and think about some of the reasons for those gun deaths. In the 0 to 17 age group, 0 to 17, is where 17 of those gun deaths occurred. Now, when you extrapolate that out to the 0 to 19 age group, it goes up to 3,300 gun deaths. You see what I mean about it doubling the number so that they can use those statistics to promote more gun control? But despite the propaganda from the gun control lobby, criminals in general and drug dealers in particular are the group of so-called kids that might be more likely to be shot. And of course, they're shot by their fellow criminals. Okay? And if you don't believe me, just read some of the local gun death news stories in any city newspaper. School shootings are rare, but they get national television coverage. But do the drug dealers that get shot so often, are they getting national television coverage? No. No, they barely get mentioned in the local newspaper. Think about that. Among older people gun deaths are most likely to be suicides. In fact, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, you ready for this? Suicides typically make up 56% of all gun deaths, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. In fact, drugs and suicides account for more than 2 out of every 3 gun deaths in the United States. I'll say that again. Drugs and suicide account for 2 out of every 3 gun deaths. Seems to me a big part of the problem would be to help treat people with mental illness and try to help get drugs out of especially kids, but also older people's hands. I think the best way to prevent gun deaths is to treat depression and other mental illness and to teach kids not to sell or use illegal drugs, treat drug addiction, and have the police concentrate on enforcing the gun laws that we already have. But the problem is the gun control lobby says that we should spend billions of dollars on gun registration and gun licensing instead of using those billions of dollars to treat depression and to combat and fight the drug war. I know that's controversial, but it just kind of seems to make more sense to me that that might be the problem. Because I tell you what, if somebody wants to commit suicide, they can do it without using a gun. And a lot of people commit suicide by other methods that don't include guns. So even if you took guns away from people and took guns out of their hands, it's not going to stop them from committing suicide. It's not going to stop the drug dealers from killing people. Trust me. First of all, if you ban guns, the drug dealers are still going to find a way to get guns. As they buy their drugs, they're going to buy a gun to go along with the drugs. I mean, that's, you know, the black market is going to supply them with guns, folks, just like the black market supplies them with drugs. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the accidental gun death rate has actually been falling. It's been falling since 1930. And the number of accidental gun deaths in the United States was down to 824 by 1999, and it's lower than that. It's under 750, according to the CDC, today. And, of course, if you just follow the laws of gun safety, especially Jeff Cooper's 4 rules of gun safety, you'll severely reduce the amount of accidental gun deaths. And I can never understand accidental shootings when somebody's cleaning their gun. You know, I've mentioned this before in other podcasts. I just can't understand that. When you're cleaning your gun, how come you don't make sure that it's unloaded? Double, triple check that the thing is unloaded. You know what? I mean, it's just flat out carelessness and idiocy, in my opinion, when somebody accidentally shoots themselves or shoots somebody else because they're cleaning their gun. Give me a break. So go back and listen to the 16 laws of gun safety that I put in the previous podcast when I was talking about kids and guns. And let's shoot safe. But let's not believe the propaganda out there by the anti-gun lobby, some of the stuff that I just covered. Let's talk about the facts And let's talk about why people are using guns in a violent manner. It's because they're trying to fulfill their drug habit, or because they have a severe mental illness. And that's the root of the problem, folks. The root of the problem is not firearms, it's not gun dealers, it's not gun owners, it's not concealed carry advocates, it's not those of us who do conceal carry, because I'm telling you what, folks, the number of gun crimes committed by concealed carry permit holders is almost none. I'm not saying it's zero, but it's close to nothing. So think about that. And that is my serious take on today's podcast. And thanks for listening. But wouldn't it be nice if we treated guns like we treated cars? Folks, my name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to episode number 48 of the Handgun World Show. And the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.